So we are continuing our series on speed bumps, times in our life and faith where we have been forced to or startled to be slowed down and to pay attention. And when you think about relationships, particularly marital relationships, but if you're not married, I want you to think about a relationship with one of your children or with a friend. They all experience rocky roads. It could be something that you said or maybe forgot to say, something that you did or you forgot to do. And you know, while Charlie and I have been happily married for 23 years, he did give me full permission to share a story with you today that might indicate one of our more rocky moments. When the boys were little, we had this amazing minivan, Red Thunder. I loved it. Automatic doors, DVD things, until one of our kids accidentally fried it, but it was great. And then one summer, we had a college student living with us, and she parked in our driveway every single day, day after day. One day, Charlie was taking the van out with the kids, and he backed into her car, even though it had been there lots of days. And so it then got, like, let's just say, pretty bad dents in it, and he said he was going to fix it. He was going to take it to one of those places like where they, like, suction out the dents. And then days and weeks passed, and that didn't happen. And so I was pretty bitter about it, and I was going to try to find a way to do something. And then you're not going to believe what happened. One day I was driving on a busy road, kind of like Bee Cave, and this car pulled up next to me and honked. And he was like, "Hey, I see you got some dents. I can fix them." And I was like, "Okay." He's like, this is a true story. He's like, "Meet me at the gas station." I go to the gas station. The guy gets out with a crowbar. "I should have stopped him," Charlie now is telling me later. "Why didn't you stop him?" And I was like, "Well, I thought, well, maybe someone will get this thing fixed." He proceeds to take the crowbar and make another hole in the back of the van and then begins to bump out the dents, making more bumps and dents this way. I guess you could say he got some of it out, and then he goes, "That'll be $50. You can imagine me telling Charlie the story, right? He's like, "And you walked away, right? I mean, he made your car look worse." I'm like, "No, I gave him the $50. This led to a very rocky season of friends, I need to hear this scripture today. This is going to be a scripture that I hope can be a tool for all of us to come back to on a daily basis for what we can do when we are experiencing some speed bumps in our relationships. So as we prepare to hear God's word, will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this family of faith that is so faithful and beloved. I thank you for all the many people that it takes to make this worship possible. Most of all, God, I thank you for your word. And I pray that it would pierce through to all of us and it would teach us exactly what it is that your spirit will want us to know this day. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So this is wisdom that comes from the book of Colossians. And when I do weddings, this is the most common verse that couples choose that they would like read on for such occasion. And here is now the word of our Lord from the book of Colossians, the third chapter. "Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Greek word that is used here for clothe, that's used twice in this passage, it is the same word that's used throughout the New Testament when someone puts on clothes. So when it's described that John the Baptist wore clothes of camel hair, it's the same word. When they give Jesus a purple robe to clothe him during his trial, it's the same word that's used here. I think that Paul was very intentional to use this word when he talked about all of these beautiful Christ-like things that we are supposed to put on, because most people in the first century had very limited amounts of clothing. It wasn't like, I need to have a certain fit or style or color for the day. Getting dressed did not cause anyone any stress. It was utilitarian. What was the least dirty and closest thing by? You put on what you needed to get done, and considered what the weather might be for the day. And Paul takes this image that all of them would have known, how easy it was to just choose what you wear, choose what you're going to wear for the day. And he is saying, I want you to consider, how do you dress your heart? How do you dress what's going on inside of you? When we face speed bumps in a relationship, especially in a marriage, the first thing we need to consider is not what the other person has done wrong or what the other person has left undone, but what is going on inside of me. What is my heart being clothed with? And so I'm going to do a little show and tell that I learned from Pastor Andy Stanley in Atlanta when he was doing a marriage retreat 10 years ago that I was able to go to. So here is Mr. and Mrs. Mugg. Both of them have come to this marriage as individuals. Mrs. Mugg, she is driven, she is compassionate, she loves to exercise, and she's very social. In fact, when they first got married, she would regularly plan date nights every month. And she made sure that they had the right balance of fun and intimacy and adventure. And then occasionally, they would even go and serve people together. Mr. Mugg here is steady. He's a calming presence. He's thoughtful and kind. And many times early in their marriage, he would wake up early and leave a love note for his wife. And then when she got home from her very stressful job, he just listened. And when he listened and she had finished talking, he would actually have follow-up questions about something she had told him days before. He had this memory. But what you need to know about Mr. Mugg and Mrs. Mugg is that both of them came to the marriage as individuals. They came full of stuff, experiences, disappointments, things that happened in their life that were shameful and things that they were very proud of. But they came as a whole individual. And as Christians, they came whole. They did not need the other person to complete them. They came as a whole individual. But then as life went on, stress was added. And one week, Mrs. Mugg was driving home from her stressful job. It had been the fourth day in a row that her supervisor had wanted to give her some feedback. She was feeling rather looked down upon. She walked into the house, and by golly, the kitchen looked exactly as she left it that morning, dirty. In walks Mr. Mugg. Hello, darling. How was your day? And she turns and glares at him. Why is the kitchen so dirty? He looks at her and says, but I just got home. I just wanted to greet you. Why are you acting so ugly at first? And she says, oh, well, you didn't remember. And before they know it, they are in a fight where each of them is spilling out what's coming out from inside them. The very thing that was upsetting Mrs. Mugg had nothing to do with Mr. Mugg. Because most of our conflict, most of the speed bumps in our marriages, in our relationships, it has to do with what's going on inside of each of us. And this is what the Apostle Paul is telling us we need to consider. How are we clothing that? What types of clothes are we putting onto our very own hearts? The only thing that each of us can control is what we can do to ourselves. Notice that the scripture does not say, clothe each other with compassion. Tell them when they need to be more humble or patient. The scripture says, clothe yourself. Because that's the only thing that we can even worry about. That's the only thing we have control over. And what I think about clothing, I realize many of us have clothing rituals. My 9-year-old niece, she has developed this ritual because she knows it will save her time in the morning. I'm curious if any of you ever did this or still do this, but she goes to bed in what she's going to wear to school the next day. She takes out any fuss. There's no worry for the decision-making in the morning. It's become her ritual. Charlie and my best friend Eric, he has this clothing ritual. It's not one I would recommend. His favorite thing in the world is to be in the woods by himself, alone in the cold, preferably hunting and not wanting to run into any human being. And so recently, he came back from his most recent getaway, and I was asking him all these questions, just baffled that this is what he wanted to do. And he used words like majestic, awesome, wonderful. It's not words I would use if I was coming back from being cold and alone in the woods. I asked him, you know, what did you bring? Did you set up a base camp? And what did you do about your clothes? Like clothes, just wore one outfit. I was like, well, what about like, how could you have dried them? It was really cold. And he was like, you mean wash them? No. There was no one to tell me their opinion, and it was amazing. This is Eric's ritual. You know, we all have to get up in the morning and put on our outfits, and we don't even think about it. We just like do it. It's just part of being human. And so here's the challenge that this text gives to us. When we hit a speed bump, when we hit a rocky road in our marriages, it is likely that we are not clothing ourselves the correct way. We have gotten out of the rituals of clothing ourselves with the things of Christ. And so when we are tired, we don't wear the clothes of patience or bearing with one another. When we are stressed, we don't wear the clothes of compassion or kindness or humility. And so we need to put on different clothes. And then we need to commit to a ritual, a daily ritual, just like you would if it was picking out an outfit to come to church or to do your job or to go to exercise. Something that would clothe our heart, your heart, not the other person's, your heart in a more Christ-like way. We need to put on kindness just like you put on pants. We need to put on patience just like we put on our shirt. Every morning, dressing up like Christ. And just like we have rituals with our clothes, we can then create rituals for our relationships. Rituals of kindness and love that you can then show to your spouse. Maybe it's a physical thing. Maybe you start to hug your partner for 10 seconds every day. Maybe it's words. Maybe you ask them once a week, every Sunday night, how can I pray for you this week? Maybe it's actions. Maybe you go and get their car washed. Or maybe it's time. You say, I want us to have a meal together every week without the TV on or our phones. Above all, clothe yourselves with love. It binds everything together in perfect harmony. May it be so in my life and in yours.